Welcome to After Adult, the podcast where we talk about porn.
I was more like signaling for you to say your name.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to start over. Hello, humans.
Really? That didn't sound very human.
This is why I feel like you're the first one to say a word every time we record.
Hi everyone, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Adrienne.
And this is After Adult.
We're talking about porn today, just like we're talking about porn every time
we do this podcast.
Every single time.
Every single time. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I just want to bring up the fact that it's April 25th.
It's the perfect day, because it's not too hot, and it's not too cold. All you need is a light sweater.
Which is actually legitimately true today.
It is legitimately true here where we live in undisclosed.
Ooh. I might need to shut the window.
Very, very threatening me.
Galileo!
We probably shouldn't use this.
Yeah, oh, no, we can sing it. It's a parody.
Oh, yeah.
Unless we're really good at it to where it sounds like a legitimate replication.
I don't know
copyright law. I'm just literally fucking guessing. So, today's like kind of a special episode.
Is it? What makes it so special?
Because we're talking about lessons learned in porn.
Ooh,
and things learned.
Like sex tips?
A little bit of that, yeah.
Because that's definitely what I thought it was.
There's a lot to be learned from porn, from the experience also of making porn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is sexual, because it's porn.
Yeah. I said that we just needed a lighter episode.
Yes.
After the past two, because I needed something to laugh about.
I'm so sorry.
But you know what I actually kind of got? I got my laughs in today because I've been listening to new friend of the pod. I've been waiting my whole life to say that.
Yay!
I've been listening to Ray Wayne Gonzalez and their pod. I don't know what her pronouns are. I think she goes by she, her. There was a whole episode about it.
Yeah. I'm fairly sure that she refers to herself as she, her. So I think we're safe in doing that. Let us know if we're wrong, Ray.
Be
very apologetic.
But I listen...
Things you pretend to know about.
Things you pretend to know about. Today, I listened to one episode that was very hard to listen to, which was, like, from the first... It was her second episode, and I was like, more power to you, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like...
Exactly what you're talking about.
It was, speaking... The whole point of the podcast is that Ray speaks with people who actually know about what they're talking about, like acting and lacrosse and
firsthand
experience, or being a Trump supporter, which is the episode that was really hard to listen to. But the Ray and her friend, who I don't remember her name, were also the Trump support. Honestly, it was all just like it's really just them having a discussion, and I appreciate all the things that they were discussing. And the next one that I have queued up is, because I've just been like kind of going back and forth, is I'm being a doula in childbirth, because that sounds really cool. And then after that is veganism. I'm just kind of jumping around. Ray,
cool. I got about halfway through the episode, the newest one that's about fat phobia.
That one, and I had all the feels.
Yeah.
Also, her friend is so cute.
I know.
Because she posts better. Anyway.
So cute.
All of her guests, all your guests are adorable, Ray. And they all have very good opinions. I mean, I haven't listened to the whole thing, but.
Mm-hmm. But we love it. We love that show. So if you like our podcast, then you'll probably like hers, because it's very similar in some regards. I mean, except for the one glaring dissimilarity that...
Which is me!
We talk about porn all the time.
I mean also that. We talk about one subject all the time and the different facets of that subject. Not just the fact that Rachel, your co-host, is part of this podcast. What else has been going on in your life?
I can't walk.
Sex really
No, I wish. Honestly, I've had those days before, though. Maybe that'll be one of my sex tips. Also, I'm standing up and I'm not going to stop recording because I'm lazy. But I need to go shut the window because it's going to thunder really hard in a minute.
It's going
to
be so much hotter. I already have my shirt off. That's right, listeners.
Honestly,
loyal listeners.
There's no cool air coming in through here, I swear to God. Like, I'm standing right in front of me.
That's right, loyal listeners. I'm recording in just my bra because it's so fucking hot in Adrian's apartment.
I know. Look, I need to get my landlord to replace the air conditioning unit because I have, like, window units in my apartment because it's an old building. And I need to get them to replace it. And I keep forgetting to call them because I'm a person who's, like,
you can't just
all the time.
Email?
No, literally they don't have an email address. Okay, beside the point. Let's.
I feel like that brings us to a good point about something that you learned.
What?
Negotiating skills.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it does.
Did you see what I did there? I really...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys,
finally listen to us.
I don't listen to the podcast episodes that I'm on because I find it weird to listen to myself. But today I was at work and listening to Ray's podcast, and I hadn't queued up a new podcast episode, and so it just started playing ours. So I listened to it because I guess I was so tired, and so I was somehow so tired and so overly caffeinated at the same time that I was just like, whatever life throws at me, I'll take it. I don't care at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Let my millennial husk rot.
I just want that to be a title of an episode. I don't know. I want that on a bumper sticker.
Let my millennial husk rot.
God, I love you.
Thank you.
You say the best things.
That's what my boyfriend says to me.
He fucking better.
Yeah. God, I feel like we've done nothing. I feel like we've done nothing instructive so far.
Not really. It's fine because guess what? I can edit.
I was gonna say, I hope you're gonna edit.
Yeah, I can edit
everything down. Okay, great.
All right, so I'm gonna edit, bleep, bloop, bleep. So we talked about in the last episode, like I mentioned, how I was really particular about like branding myself and marketing myself. And yeah, a huge part of that was having to be able to negotiate and just like stand my ground when people wanted to either just outright treat me in ways that I didn't agree with or, you know, try to wrap me up into a business decision that I didn't want.
So did you also, in doing that, learn a lot about failure? Because in that anecdote you shared that you're talking about, we kind of brought, is that it was one of your first scenes where you were going to be a feature cover on the DVD, and you were like, I'm really going for mainstream, please. You were like, market me as mainstream. But then you actually,
and then they did,
holy shit, look at upside.
Wow,
sorry,
we might just be stuck in a hurricane here.
But I'm so hungry and you have no food. No real
pizza. I have food.
No real food.
We can order pizza.
I don't want pizza. I want Chipotle.
We can order Chipotle.
Chipotle sponsor us. So, long story short, you, when they were marketing it, they marketed it as BBW, which is niche, not mainstream. Did you learn a lot of lessons about how to deal with failure? I know that's not necessarily one of the topics that you had thought about, but that's where my brain went.
Yeah, I would say so. I don't think I would call it failure only because, like, and I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, but I'm saying it, like, realistically, I saw lots of performers struggle to get consistent work in the industry, and because I...
asserted yourself?
Well, not only that, it's, like, privilege, you know? Yeah. It's like we talked about. White, like, you know, I may not be a super, like, slender woman, and I did have my own struggles, I guess, with image in the porn industry, but, you know, I still have naturally big boobs, you know, still have an hourglass shape. Like, there's still a lot of things that I gain privilege from, you know, conventionally attractive face. Like, so there's all these things that I had.
Your face is very symmetrical.
Yes, it is, I won't get into that. I have one eyebrow that's like my devil eyebrow that's never symmetrical.
My whole, both nuts, of but. My eyes are just, they're at a tilt.
I don't noticed that. Maybe it's because you always have glasses.
And
on.
My ears are also, I notice it because of my glasses.
My ears are very uneven. Like when I put glasses on that are straight, it's like,
isn't it amazing what we really focus in and zoom in on ourselves and criticize ourselves for?
It is.
Did you learn that?
My eyebrow hairs.
Did you learn that in porn? Then you're too hard on yourself?
I actually did, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. 100%. Like, that's one of the biggest things I wrote down is like...
I'm not going to lie. Do you want to know what I learned while you were in the porn industry? We didn't know each other, so I didn't learn this directly from you. I was just going to say,
like, what makes sense of this?
What year did you start?
2012.
Okay, so I was in college. I was finishing up college because I left and then went back. And I had already learned the skill, but I really perfected the art of skimming. Because I skimmed through your notes.
Oh my god. I was like skimming.
God, can we just start this episode over? We're not doing... it's my fault. It's totally my fault.
I mean, I don't feel like we... Because like, okay. we're 14 minutes in. It's not that bad.
Okay, I feel this like...
You feel like we've been recording for way longer than we actually have been.
Because we've been recording spots. Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Release your stress.
I also really wanted you to lead in so I could be like, I'm Rachel and I'm recording in my bra.
We can, like, look.
No,
we can
record
that part again.
No, I like it. Okay. I like what we did. I do think you're right. I'm better at doing the intros and cutting us off.
Mm-hmm.
I have the natural.
You have that podcast.
I'm a natural power mover. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Mm-mm.
It's when you do the, like, so you're with a group of people and you're trying to get everyone to leave. So you do the power, and, like, no one's moving because everyone's, like, kind of enjoying themselves. They all want to go home. They don't want to be the first one to move. I'm like, I want to get home and be in my pajamas. Power move.
Good. I respect it. And that totally makes sense. That is literally.
Did you ever do any power moves in porn like that?
Look at you. You just bring it right back every time.
I try to.
No, I don't know that I ever did any. I don't know. That's a question. I don't know that I've grasped the concept of power move for myself and what that would look like yet to be able to answer that question accurately. But I did want to ask the other question.
Okay.
Or answer the other question that, a minute ago. What did you ask? You asked me another question.
Play back that recording, coach. Are you that guy from Police Academy? Because that was beautiful noise making. Foley engineer?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You a Foley
That's
engineer?
That's actually my dream.
Girl,
job.
Your mouth makes beautiful noises.
King Christ.
Hey, let me know if you use that line and it works. And if you pick someone up, let me know if that works.
I'll let you know.
No, I mean, loyal... Loyal podcast listeners, let me know that works. I don't care who you pick up.
That's one of the things. So, like, body image, and I didn't even really get into this in the last episode, which is ironic, I guess, but that's one of the biggest things I think I learned in general from doing porn is it's like a weird double-edged sword because it did lead me to actually have some, like, this weird pressing desire to get smaller, like I talked about that in the previous episode, mm-hmm. you know, and I did end up losing like 20 or I don't know, it might have even been 30 pounds. Like I did lose weight while I was in the industry and then I ended up like gaining it right back. But at the same time, I actually like developed a much healthier body image. Like, so
interesting.
And I guess what, maybe not healthier body image overall, but I developed more confidence.
Was it while you were in porn or was it after porn?
It was while I was in it. And it sounds kind of dumb, but it really was like a fake it till you make it thing. Like, so me going into porn, like I didn't watch enough mainstream porn
mm-hmm.
to have a concept of how irregular, quote unquote, my body type was and how I would be perceived. And I literally had enough naivety about it that I went in and I was like, cool, here I am.
You know, I don't think your body type is that irregular anymore.
Not anymore, but I, like...
Yeah, I guess
like,
back in like 2012.
Thick, hashtag thick with two C's is, like, a thing now, and it was not in 2012.
Yeah.
Maybe it's... Maybe I had a hand in that. No, I'm probably giving myself too much credit. Yeah, mm-hmm, it was. But no, like, Kim Kardashian was obviously popular at this point.
Yeah, but it was not...
It, yeah.
We were not.
Yeah. And the confidence that I did gain, or the comfort in my body that I gained through doing porn was... I mean, yeah, a good amount of it was, like, it was related to getting really, like, encouraging positive validation from fans. Actually, I would say the majority of it was just from women who would find my fan mail email address and write to me and be like, you're really inspiring and it's really cool to see someone who's more realistic doing what you do.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Like, I always really appreciated that and I thought it was neat. You know, I also saw my fair share of trolls. Like, I learned pretty quickly that a way to ruin my fucking day would be to go read comments on my own videos.
Oh, you mean like... Hold on one second, let me pull it up.
While you look for that, I want to say that when I look at comments on porn videos, because I did spend some time looking at Pornhub comments and stuff, just for shits and gigs... So,
except for there's that one Pornhub commenter who did it all in limericks.
Yeah, that was... I'm talking about when I've seen comments on my own shit.
He never commented on yours?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, that's rude.
But for my experiences of my own... The comments that I saw on my own shit, like, weirdly, and maybe not so weirdly, people are much nicer with their comments on free websites. Like, I actually looked, like, here's the funny thing. I was trying to find comments that were, like, let me go back and find some of the shittiest comments I've ever seen on my own porn videos, just to show people, like, here's the shit that performers
you can be anonymous versus if you're emailing someone, yeah, you have to go through way more work. Well, you have to create a burner account and...
I mean Pornhub versus, like, the paid sites where you're behind a paywall. So, like, a Brazzers member who's paying every month... And they're in the comment... Like, they're vicious.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying.
Because they're paying for it, and they feel, like, the entitlement of, oh, I pay $30 a month for access to this website, and how dare you, like, hire this fat bitch for a scene.
Did they ever tell you to please have some modesty and have a blessed day, hit prayer and emoji? Oh,
like the person on our Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
That legal scene on Instagram, the fakest account I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was.
You should just beep out the... Yeah. We shouldn't give any credence. That's counterintuitive to your argument.
Which was one of my other lessons that I learned, is don't feed the trolls.
Have a blessed day. I pray hands emoji. I don't feel, like, viciously attacked by this troll. It's just really funny to me.
Oh, it is.
It's more funny.
It's very funny. But also, it's such a clearly fake profile. They just went and, like, downloaded random people's photos.
It was also funny to me because it was on an illustration that you did of a not real person.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't show any... female presenting nipples, so it has this IG standards.
Please have modesty, illustrated woman.
Pray hands emoji.
Pray hands. Is that a please or is it I'm praying for you? It's both. I don't know.
Pray hands
so
emoji.
So you wanted sex tips?
Not really. I just got confused.
You don't need sex. You don't want sex tips, but maybe we could share some with other listeners.
Oh, sure. When I was a 8th grader, my GBF, my gay best friend, told me that if I was ever sucking a guy's dick, I should deep throw it and hum, because then it would be like a vibrator. But that, we were in 8th grade and neither of us had ever sucked a dick.
Oh, wow.
So we knew nothing.
Was that like from a TV show or a movie?
I have no idea where he got it from.
I bet he got it from Undressed.
What is that?
It's an old TV show that used to be on MTV.
Oh, possibly.
It was dumbest show.
I genuinely have no idea. We knew nothing.
It was like a fake reality show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was weird. It was scripted, but they made it sound, I don't, it was just...
Anyway, that's my sex tip from 8th grade, Rachel.
Oh my god, fuck.
But wait, did you not want my sex tips? Is it just your sex tips?
No, I wanted, that why we're no, laughing? I literally wanted yours, okay. Which is why I'm really glad that you immediately had a great one to offer.
I actually
did. So hum on the dick.
Hum on the dick. I actually did write something down when I thought that this was, because, like, a genuine one, not just hum on the dick. Right. I genuinely think that good sex is 50% listening,
yes.
30% ingenuity, and 20% general motor control.
General motor control.
That is not to be ableist, because in any way, shape, there are plenty of ways to listen,
mm-hmm.
whether you can hear or not, and there are plenty of ways to have motor control, whether you are fully functioning
you
or
mean
not.
Motor control, like, on the Sibian?
I mean, it could be, like, motor control with your vibrator, or it can be, as my mom...
Of your Hitachi wand.
My mom's not going to like this. She has Parkinson's, and her favorite joke is that she no longer needs a vibrator because of her shakes.
Oh, my God.
It's her favorite joke.
Oh, my God. So, I love your mom.
I love her, too.
That's amazing.
Don't forget, if you listen...
Don't rate every episode.
And subscribe. My mom will come on here and talk about porn with us. Or, I don't know, whatever you want her to talk about. Do you want advice from my mom? She's a funny lady.
Yeah, I bet your mom has great sex tips.
I don't necessarily want to...
You can leave the room. I'll ask her. So my first sex tip was actually, like, similar to what you just... said.
Oh,
which
you mean
is,
listening?
I was just gonna say, like, communication overall. Like, if there's one, if I wanted to really distill sex, like, and I mean, like, making it enjoyable, making it pleasurable for people who are involved, like, the most important thing is communicating well, which has a bunch of, that's just like an overarching thing, but there's a bunch more that comes with that, which is, like, obviously consent, like obtaining consent. But communicating well also means setting boundaries and like just telling people, telling your partner or partners when you would like something different, when something feels good and you want them to keep doing that. Like,
what you would like to do in the future to see if you are maybe compatible, at least sexually.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's also, that fed into ingenuity, because it's like, be clever with what you're, if your partner is like, this is something that I've always wanted to try, but I don't know if I really want to try it. Like, you know, there are lots of things wrong with Dan Savage and Dan Savage media and whatever. He's trying.
Dan Savage encouraged me to do porn.
Holy shit.
Did I tell you about that? I talked about it in, like, the first episode of this podcast. Like, I was on Dan Savage's podcast in, like, 2011 or something. No, maybe it was... Oh, I don't know. It was 10
years
ago.
I've told you that I've also had a very hard time listening to your solo podcast.
Yes,
Because I just wanted to keep talking to you and telling you and asking you questions, which is how we ended up here.
You should hear the Dan Savage thing. Anyone who's listening right now, like, I think I posted it a while back. I'll post it again. It's pretty fucking funny. But I called Dan Savage because...
Little baby Adrian.
Because someone at my college who was, like, in our... it was, like our GLAAD chapter at college. Like, you know, the... Gay, Lesbian, Queer Student Association. But someone was talking about starting, like, a queer porn collective, and I was like, I want to join that. And that's the first time that I had the idea to do porn, and I ended up calling Dan Savage and leaving an anonymous voicemail. And then he called me back and recorded the phone call. And so it's on this old, like, a 10-year-old episode of Savage Love. But it was so funny, because when I listen to it now, I'm like, oh, God, this is, like, a very, like... grim predictor of the future, because in the call to him I joke about, like, my parents finding out and me just being like, oh, well, I guess I'll wait until they die to do it, like, it's really, and I listen to it, I'm like, what a cocky ass little fucking, like, 20-year-old I was.
Don't we all think we know? everything when we're 20, 21.
And but I mean, he was.
I still know everything. I'm 27.
Oh shit! You are 20. God, I'm so old. It's fine. You'll be old too one day. You'll get to join the 30-year-old club. It'll be great.
Not if my millennial husk.
Not if your millennial husk rots before then.
What I was going to say is that I like Dan Savage thing of GGG. You got to be game. I just had it pulled up because I always forget what it actually is. Good giving and game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I do mm-hmm. think he has some good quippy, you know, things to just pull out.
Yeah. Also, that reminds, I like the kink communities, like, you know, safe, sane, and consensual.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's another good guideline as well, whether you're into kinky shit or not.
Yeah.
Like, safe, sane, and consensual.
Yeah, because there are some that, like, some people either... Like, some people, for whatever... They can't do penetrative sex.
Yeah. For whatever... A variety of reasons. Be the case.
That is not something that they are capable of doing, which is fine, because that's not the only form of sex that you can have. But, you know, it's just... But then you have to really... I think also it's a matter of knowing yourself. Like, because yes. You got to be like... Because maybe you're with someone and they can't or don't or just don't like mm-hmm. penetrative sex, and you really really enjoy sticking something somewhere,
like in your butt.
Sure.
I'm just saying because I like to say in the butt. So
what
in the butt? What? Oh wait, copyright. We don't have that.
But what I'm saying is that like. Is that that's also part of like listening and communicating.
Yeah.
Because if at the end of the day you're not sexually compatible, like whether it's, you know, like your partner has a high sex drive and you have a low sex drive, or you're really kinky and your partner's not very kinky, and like neither of you are willing to come down to the middle ground in one way or another, mm-hmm. no one's gonna be happy. I'm not saying sex is like the end all be all in relationships. There are relationships where no sex is had and everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to my Aero Ace people.
Yeah.
But
that's also because they've had conversations about it. Yeah, and kind of negotiated those things and had the open communication that's necessary.
How much actual communication happens before a scene?
I think that's very personal to performers. Like, I shot scenes where there was virtually none, you know? That sounds bad, but it kind of goes on feel. It's just like in real life. Like, you might have a partner, you know, mm-hmm. where you just, in the moment,
right.
stuff is happening.
Yeah, you know? I don't know why I grimaced at that. I had to check myself. I was like, you know, it's the same as if you are with someone, and it's just the only difference is that there's a camera and lights, and
right. You
maybe spend a lot of money to get your hair and nails did.
Right.
Which people do anyway, just for their non-recorded
just
sex.
Just for the booty call that's coming over tonight.
Depending on how much you want that booty call to not just be a booty call anymore. I'm not saying that you should get your hair and nails done and... you know, wax just for a booty call that you want to be
if you want a partner.
You know, unless you want fine. To. If that's part of your reg routine. Or if you feel like treating yourself and it just so happens that your booty call is coming over.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is
that.
You get it.
So,
Look at you. You're looking fabulous no matter what your grooming routine is. You're looking fine. Yeah, you. You listening right now. Damn. Sexually or non-sexually.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rachel's Positivity Corner.
Yes. Ooh, bum, that's bum, a bum. Thing. We're having it forever from now on.
Okay, cool.
I was going to say that that is something that I should mention is because of the nature of porn and, like, you are hired for a specific kind of scene. Like, there's handjob scenes, there's blowjob scenes,
is it kind of built in because of whatever scene you're hired for sometimes?
A good amount of it is. So, like, I got hired a lot for just blowjob scenes, and, like, there's very little, like, the extent of communication about likes and dislikes and boundaries was literally, here was how I got ready for a blowjob scene with a male co-star. I would be like, do you like anything specific on your balls?
That's actually a really good question.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen...
Some men like having... again, trying to stop myself from using binary terms all the time, but...
Some people with penises and balls
like to have their balls touched. Some don't. It's a totally personal thing. I can't predict what someone's going to want. So I always ask. That's like one of the first things. And I never just automatically like go for the balls and touch it unless I know that the person is going to like that. Because I don't want to throw them off or make them uncomfortable.
It made me think of a song by Garfunkel. And it's called Hand Job, Land Job. I don't understand job. Where they talk.
I know you said Garfunkel and Oates, but I still pictured Simon and Garfunkel.
That's part of the funniness of it. Sorry, we just had to take a brief break to watch the video. It's really funny. We'll link it in the show notes. But the line I was thinking of was, there's a whole lyrical section about, seriously, what do you do with the balls?
It's amazing.
And it ends with, how about I don't touch them unless you insist on it? Which,
that's just my theory.
Just enforcing that communication is the key.
Yeah, there we go. It's just in a nutshell. Oh, man. Some good sex tips there.
Don't touch your partner's balls unless they want them touched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't touch your partner's anything unless they want it touched.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. And sometimes, you know, I've dated people who really weren't into me touching a part of their body that I might have really, like, wanted to touch, you know? But it's not
like
about
their feet?
Me. Yeah. Nose. Noses.
Noses?
I just like people's noses, okay? Don't ask
no,
me to
No, I just,
it.
I've never really thought about, like, that hard limit. Like, I've never thought of that as, like, a hard limit.
Well, it's not like I want to, like, fuck their nose, but I'm just like, oh, you have, like, I really like your nose. Like, I just will get, like, where I'm like, I want to, like,
oh, well, that's,
you know,
a little invasive. You couldn't see this because it's not...
No, I don't do that. I'm not saying I do that to anyone's
face.
It's just
Adrienne was just, like, touching her nose, like, very rapidly and hard with all of her fingers.
It's more like I want to, like, kiss their nose.
Oh. Like,
it's just a weird, like, affectionate thing. I think, honestly, I get it from my cat. Because I kiss my cat's nose all the time. And so when I see someone that I think is really cute, I'm like, oh, I want to kiss your nose just like I do with my cat.
I can't believe you don't kiss my nose more often, because I'm a babe. Winked into the microphone for you.
Maybe I'll start.
I'm really feeling myself today.
Good.
Listeners.
You are recording in a bra, so.
It's my prettiest nude shapeless bra from Soma. That's so old that the straps are...
That's when they're
don't
good,
have
though.
Any support.
That's the best ones.
Yeah, it's hella comfortable, but...
It looks comfortable.
I also have... Look at how much sweat there is.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about my house being so warm.
I got them heavy boobs. Heavy boobs. Dance like white dwarf stars. I got them heavy boobs. That's another great song. Rachel Bloom, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's a song all about...
You've
having
told me
boobs.
About that one, but everyone quotes that show to me all the time, and I've never seen it.
It's a great
it,
show.
Man.
Full series is now on Netflix.
Okay, I'll watch it.
And you'll cry. I cried. I laughed. I had to pause and yell into a pillow once or twice, not because I was angry at the show, but because I was feeling so emotional.
Mm.
But we'll link Heavy Boobs also in the show notes.
Oh my god. Okay. You have to text me these.
I will text you all the things.
I will forget. And I could just write them down as I listen to the show later, but it's a lot easier if you just text me
since
you're the one who has the connections to all of these things.
All the things.
So, all right. So the next like non-sex tip porn lesson.
Non-sex tip, non-pop culture rec.
You're still going to find a way to do a pop culture rec.
Oh,
I'm
trust
sure.
me. Trust me, listeners.
You're full of them.
Those episodes are coming.
Just whole episodes.
Whole episodes. It's all about my pop culture rec.
It's like Welcome to season 3 of After Adult. Rachel's literally just going to recommend TV shows.
another podcast that I like, it's called Worst Bestsellers. It's all about, like, books that people read that are maybe not great. And these two, they both...
Like 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey. They started with Twilight.
Okay, yeah.
They've also done Outlander. The episode I just listened to today was Need for Speed, the movie novelization. Oh, but they... Fuck, I don't remember why I brought it up.
I don't know.
Shit.
Because I was saying, I was joking that we were going to have a whole season of just you giving recommendations.
So one of their... After they finished their first year, they did their favorite and least favorite book recommendations for the year.
Mm-hmm. So you can do that.
So I can do that. Yeah. My favorite and least favorite porn of the year.
Oh my god. I wouldn't even have...
I don't consume enough porn.
You can do your favorite non-video porn. How about that?
I don't even consume enough of that.
Well, start, Rachel.
Read more smut, Rachel!
We're gonna save that. Put a pin in that.
Boop.
Because we're gonna come back to the sex tips. But the next thing I wanted to say that is like the non-sex, what I've learned from porn, is just the concept of fame in general and popularity on in social media especially. Because I had to spend so much time cultivating social media and responding to people on social media and like,
do you not feel like you still work towards that now as After Adult's Instagram curator?
It's so much harder now too, because I'm not posting photos of like my boobs all the time.
That's,
you know,
true. And even if you did, Instagram would take them down and flag your account because female presenting nipples are something to be ashamed of.
Yep. So
presenting nipples is very binary, and we don't like that.
I know. It's fucking... Instagram
and also,
can suck it.
How are you supposed to tell which ones are female and which ones are male? And also, what if you're non... I guess that means that if you're non-binary nipples, then you non-binary and male nipples can reign on IG.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly what the battleground is right now. It's bullshit.
Not that we're saying the fact that non-binary nipples are... We're saying male nipples are bullshit.
No, the treatment of bodies by Instagram is the thing that's bullshit.
No, I'm calling bullshit on male nipples.
Men, you don't have nipples. Stop lying to us.
I'm calling bullshit.
You fucking liars.
I'm calling bullshit.
With your poser nipples. Posua. Fucking god.
I seriously came in thinking this episode was just going to be Adrian giving sex tips that she learned from various porn shoots. So I came in with a very different mentality.
Which is why it's so amazing and hilarious.
I came in, I was like, I'm ready to joke. I'm ready to not be serious. I'm ready to take
it. And we're still doing that.
We're still doing
it. We're still accomplishing it.
To this very day.
When I started porn in 2012, Tumblr was like kind of at its height, because that's before Yahoo bought Tumblr.
Yeah, well, Yahoo bought Tumblr, but they didn't really...
And now there's like porn is not on Tumblr. It's like,
that's a whole other...
Well, like they're trying to clean it out. But when I joined, like my first website was a Tumblr.
No, the problem is that there's a whole other episode in there and anti-porn activism through corporations,
censorship.
Through censorship,
yeah.
Which, and how it doesn't work and how they don't necessarily focus on other things. Like, again, you're going to crack down on bodies that you presume are female because of their presentation.
Right.
Versus, Nazis.
Uh-huh. For example, it's just the perception of what's harmful or what's...
And also the idea, they do it through an AI. It's not that like someone is literally sitting there and flagging someone's post. So one of my favorite memes of 2018 on Tumblr is was like different images that were like so innocent. like a duck or something like that, and it was flagged, and so they'd show you that it's like, this post is under review.
Oh my god.
Aww. And it's like,
poor ducky.
And it's like, that's a fucking duck.
Oh my god.
But not a duck that is fucking. It is just
just a duck. Not with, a fucking duck. Just
with
a duck.
With your corkscrew dick.
Ugh. Don't even know. I don't want to think. Don't get me started on ducks. They're the worst.
Quack.
But yeah, like, so that's a big thing. Like, that it was actually really mentally hard. And I think anyone who's ever had, like, a level of social media success or fame, it is this addictive element. And so when it's I retired,
literally, it's literally akin to actually getting the little, it's akin to doing drugs. Your brain receptors work the same way.
It's a little ding ding ding. It's a little reward.
Yes.
And so not having that, or just like I mean, I just honestly let go of it. Like, when I retired, I initially, it was easier because I had gotten to a place mentally where I was so exhausted with it that I was like, oh, I'm so glad to be done with this. But then it started to creep back where I was like, oh, where's all that validation that I'm used to?
And
like,
it's also...
Where did it go?
And it's also really hard because in this day and age, so much of, like, your social life is actually curated through some sort of social media, typically Facebook. Like, yeah. I left college. I left the school that I went to and I took a year off. And I went to school out of state, and during that time, I was, like, I couldn't deal with seeing a bunch of people I went to high school with almost graduate, like, they were talking about how they were going to be graduating, and I was like, I'm not, and, like, all this other stuff, so I deactivated my Facebook, and then I just, like, some of my best friends, they'd be like, oh, I thought I invited you to this thing, like, where are you? And I'm like, I don't have Facebook. So you didn't invite me to Jack.
That's what happens to me every day still now. Because I have a Facebook that I never check. And well, I'll log in and I'm like, oh, I got invited to this thing.
That's your fault.
It's like last weekend. Like, the fact that I didn't know about that birthday party until, the day of. Because I was invited, but I don't check my Facebook.
But that's a you fault.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I say fault, but it's probably a good thing you don't check Facebook every day.
Honestly, I checked it today. And the first thing that I saw in my feed was someone posting, like, hey, so let's have a... It was literally someone asking people to comment and debate about whether the criminal justice system is sexist because more men are in prison than women. And I was like,
It's like that.
That's not the debate that you... That's not the debate.
It's like...
Like, debate everything about the criminal justice system like and the industrial prison complex. Whatever the fuck. Just don't debate. That's not... Ugh.
It's like that commercial where It's for, like... I want to say eHarmony. It's not eHarmony. It's for eSurance. And,
okay.
And the grandma is like... She's like, look at my wall of photos. And
yes.
And
oh my god.
The other grandma goes, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Mm-hmm. Where she's trying to play Candy Crush in real life. She's like smashing candy with a hammer. And that's another, it's because they did a series of commercials.
I've only seen look at my wall of photos.
There's one where she's like, I'm playing Candy Crush, and it's an old lady
hitting just
like
a
pile of runts with a hammer. God.
All right.
Yeah,
so
social media.
So we said we were going to layer in
necessary evil.
We said we were going to layer in sex tips.
Yeah. So you ready for the next one? You ready for this hot, sexy sex tip full of sex?
Wait, can I give you another
dripping?
Can I give you another dripping sex tip from? Can I give you another sex tip that middle
dripping
school me
sex
learned and thought, wow. Incredible.
Yes. Oh my god. Rachel's middle school sex tips. Go.
That makes it sound like I was having sex as a middle schooler and I was not.
Oh. Well, you said it was a middle school sex. You said it first.
No, I said it was a sex tip I learned in middle school. That
Rachel's middle school sex tips that she learned in middle school. Go.
But never used.
Go.
I learned that if you're going to go down on someone who has a clitoris, you use the alphabet.
Oh my god.
A, B, C, D, E, and you go all the way through.
I would fall asleep. I'm not saying
that these were good sex tips.
Rachel's bad sex tips.
I'm saying that as an eighth grader, me and my friends, we had no idea what sex was, except we did read the Kushiel's Dart series, so we did kind of know what sex was. That was something that we thought, like, oh yeah, if you're going on down on someone who has a clitoris,
you spell the alphabet.
You spell
with your
the
tongue.
Alphabet, and if someone's going down on me, they should spell the alphabet.
Then, did you try it ever when you got older?
No.
Okay, that's probably for the best. I'm not sure that you would have found it super duper rewarding. I've never tried it. To be honest, I haven't either, but. I have a feeling.
I want to just that. for the giggles.
Well, like, you report back.
I want to just out. To see what how my partner would respond if I was just like, I'm moving my tongue around.
Okay. There's no visual involved in recording a podcast.
We should take a quick little video of us. Doing that. That's the promo image. A gif of us just going.
Yeah, let's do it. But okay. We have to. After we record.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. So, my very adult, not learned in middle school sex tip is masturbate.
Oh, that's a good one.
Get down with yourself. Well, have you watched Big Mouth?
I have.
Look who's recommending pop culture now.
Wow. I am.
Big Mouth. So you know when Jenny
first
looks at her vagina, she meets her vagina.
Is Jenny the one who has a giant crush on Nathan Fillion?
Oh no, wait! I don't think her. I think she's voiced by Jenny Slate.
But
her character's name isn't Jenny. Anyway, her. What is her name? It's Jessie.
Yeah,
I should know that because that's my best friend's name.
Is it Jessie?
It's Jessie.
I'm gonna.
It's Jessie. Yeah, the one with the red hair. So, well, while you look up.
No, I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of.
The nerdy one?
I'm thinking of the nerdy one who fantasizes about Nathan Fillion. Mm-hmm. And I was like, same girl.
Oh my god! That's so sweet. Oh. But you know in the scene when Jessie meets her vagina and her vagina is like, hey girl! Everyone should be doing that with whatever parts you have.
Jenny Slate voices Missy, who's the nerdy one who dreams about Nathan Fillion. Well, and Jessie Klein voices Jesse Glasser.
Oh. So it's Jessie playing Jessie. Makes sense.
Some Jessie on Jessie. Goodbye.
And good night.
And that's all I got, folks. Bye.
I want to say that, probably a solid, in terms of if I just were to quantify the hours I spent doing on-camera work in the porn industry, probably 40% of them were me in front of a camera by myself, either doing custom videos or webcamming or being hired for actual solo masturbation type scenes. So not only in the time leading up to before porn did I spend a fair amount of time getting to know my own body, but also while in it, I've had a lot of the masturbation experience, and I don't know that there's really any other way to get an idea of what you like.
Yeah.
You know? You just gotta know yourself and know how your body responds to things, because if you know that, then you can probably do a pretty good job of communicating it to someone else.
And you'll probably learn more about the thing that you already like mm-hmm. if someone else is doing it to you.
Yeah, that's super true.
Or someone else. Or you just keep going down on your bad self.
There's even
take out a rib so that you can do
so that you can suck your own dick.
Hey, that's not cool, so that you can also eat yourself out if necessary, depending on what genitalia you're working with. That's it.
I was just referencing the old Marilyn Manson rumor, you know?
I know. That he could suck his own
dick. Yeah. Yeah. So
anyway. <Ba-da-da-da-da-da>. Bye.
I'm gonna edit that and I'm gonna put another thing you saying sploosh. So it's like da 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 sploosh.
Here, I can just do it for you. Da 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 sploosh. What's your last tip going to be, Chris?
My last tip,
or the last lesson that you learned.
The last lesson that I learned, which kind of does double duty as both a sex tip and a porn life tip.
Ooh,
yeah,
I love those. Juicy doubles.
Oh my god. Did you just drop me inside of a Carl's Jr. commercial?
Sure as heck.
The fuck was that?
Sure as heck did.
Oh my god. So a huge thing that I learned was that there's usually a pretty significant gap between what is, like, so there's just this cultural idea of, like, what's portrayed as being sexy or attractive.
Mm.
And even just what is portrayed as sex, you know, like, yes, penetrative sex. That's sex.
True. It's to assist woman and assist man, and it's missionary.
Right.
And it's romantic.
Right.
And there's a beam of sunlight or moonlight that gently caresses someone's mm-hmm. back and someone's face.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you will about Marvel Cinematic Universe, Deadpool really got sex right.
Yeah.
It should be holiday themed.
Oh, 100%.
You should have all
about that pegging.
All about that Women's Day.
Into it. I just did a really amazing hair flip and no one saw it. You saw it.
Did I?
No. Here, I'll do it again. Look it.
I'm sorry.
Rachel,
what?
Look! Look at my hair flip.
Yeah.
You're so mean. Ugh, Rachel won't look at my hair flip. Rachel won't look at my hair flip. Mom!
I thought we said no personal talk.
Alright, so what I mean is, and mainstream porn does the same fucking thing. You know, it's like you were saying in the body image episode, you were like, if I go on Pornhub, it's like all the shit that is like the first thing on the page, it all kind of looks the same. And so one of the things, I will never forget this, one of the fans that used to commission a bunch of custom videos from me, his fetish, maybe we talked about this in the fetish episode, but he was into, oh, we did, I remember, because we talked, I don't remember what the word was, I had to look up a word, it was like the between the thighs thing.
Intercural.
Right, so he was into just sex that didn't involve
penetration, it involved
normal, like, what, like, the natural orifices, like,
okay,
it wasn't vaginas or butts or like whatever. So,
or ears.
And that was something that I didn't know that existed.
Did you hear that? She just,
or ears.
She just went right past it.
Or ears.
As if it, well, if whatever you're penetrating with is bigger than an elbow, I guess it's doctor approved.
Yeah. I penetrate my ear daily. Like this?
No, stop. She's putting her finger in her ear, but you're not supposed to put anything in your ear that is smaller than an elbow.
Okay.
Because you'll end up pushing the earwax.
Also, the trick of that is you can't put your own elbow in your ear. I know.
But because you end up, instead of, like, you think you're cleaning the earwax, you end up pushing the earwax farther in, which can lead to an impaction.
Oh. Or you could just puncture your entire eardrum, right?
That too.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, that sounds
ear painful. Health 101.
Thank you. That's Rachel's ear health corner. Rachel's just...
That and you should never listen to anything that you listen to at full volume on your headphones.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You should only, like...
You want to preserve that hearing.
Like 70%.
Yeah.
At the most.
That's a safe... That sounds safe. Yeah, I had no idea the variety of interests and different kinds of sex. Mm-hmm. And even just... Like, one really cool thing about being a sex worker is that people feel pretty safe to just tell you parts, like, personal sexual desires that they have that they might not tell anyone else.
Yeah, but because I did read, you said that people who do that sometimes, they don't know that you're a sex worker. Mm-hmm. And then when they find out that you're a sex worker, the people who are tell you like those intimate things, they can be real shitty about the fact that you... Is it that they're shitty before when you label yourself as a sex worker, or are they shitty when they find
you're
out
talking
that
about
you
the
did
notes
porn?
That I wrote
yes,
for the episode.
The show notes.
That, because I wrote that super stream of consciousness, I don't know that I clarified it super well. So what I meant was, so take for example, I used to get a lot of fan emails with people who would like describe very detailed circumstances about their sex lives and like why they were interested in particular things or like why they had a fetish. Like there was one guy who ordered a couple custom videos and none of them were particularly fetish-based, but he kind of wanted me to pretend I was his girlfriend and, like, talk to him like we were one-on-one.
Oh, okay, yeah. We talked about this in the actual...
Yeah, and so it turns out that he had a spouse. They had been married for, like, years and years, and his spouse was not able to have sex physically.
Okay.
So it was something that they had agreed that, like, he... had this other way of kind of fulfilling the sexual part of the relationship because that was a need that he had. And so he and his spouse had agreed that that was okay for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would, you know, and I'm sure I wasn't the only sex worker or porn performer that he ordered videos from, but, and that was kind of a neat thing, you know, it was like, okay, well, this is like a different level. I wouldn't have ever thought that I would go into
that
porn.
That was the reason, because...
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't have ever thought that I would find something like that. But, and I'm not saying that this guy particularly was like this. I actually have no idea. But I think what I meant by that is people are very open with you behind closed doors if they if they know that you're a sex worker and they feel like you're providing them a service that they need.
But like to your, but when they're out in public...
But people, but yeah, when you don't have that, like, safe space.
Yeah.
Sometimes the same people might be very judgmental. Like, so it's, I don't know how to word that very well.
No, I get it.
But
it's
I hope
just,
that makes sense.
It's just the face they choose to present to the world is different than the one that they present behind closed doors.
I guess what I'm trying to say is people in general, I think... When no one's watching them and when they don't feel like they need to perform, you know, for society or for whatever reasons that they might feel judged, you know, I think that people are generally a lot more open-minded about sex than they let on.
I was going to make, you know, like me, I, when I am outside in the real world... I wear bras, but in the comfort of my own home.
No bras.
That bra doesn't exist.
Just like the guy who, at my gym...
I don't like this.
What?
I always get really nervous when people talk about men at gyms.
Oh, no. I was going to tell you. I told you this story months ago, but the guy that goes to my gym who, like, found my Instagram and then... We talked and he was like, I thought that you were super religious.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, so I, at my gym, I just go in, I do my shit and I leave. And like, my hair's really long. And I guess this guy just thought based on
and
me wearing leggings, like long pants
and
to
you
the gym
do
and having long
your,
hair.
I was, and you do wear your hair in braids a lot.
I do wear my hair in braids a lot. So this guy thought that I was like, like Pentecostal or some very conservative Christian religion because of, I guess, a combination of my appearance and like. The fact that I don't, I don't know what else it was.
But is that really just his own bias versus the face you present to the world? Because I don't think the face you present to the world is a Pentecostal Christian.
I don't know. Like, I have to say that I kind of got it because I was like, I've met women that just have really long hair. And I thought, like, are you super...
That's weird...
But it's so funny because I look like that kind of, but I don't... think of myself, but that's because I'm in my own brain, you know?
That's some strange free association, I'm gonna say. Let us know in the comments if you associate long hair with ultra-religious people. Because I would love to know. Because the only people I think of...
I just met a lot of ultra-religious people who have really long hair.
The only, like, religion that I think of that is where, like, hair and body hair and not cutting your hair is a thing is the Sikh religion. So I just, so I just find it very confusing. I've just never associated long hair with ultra.
Well, Jesus had long hair.
We don't know what Jesus had.
That's true. We don't. Jesus honestly wasn't white.
Anyway, so... I'm Rachel.
I'm Adrian.
And you've listened to After Adult. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
And on Instagram at After Adult.
And on our website at afteradult.com.
If you haven't yet, you really should rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah, if we get enough people to rate, review, and subscribe, you could hear my mom directly tell you that she doesn't need a sex toy anymore because she has Parkinson's.
Oh my God. So, please contribute to Rachel's mom guesting on our podcast because you know that's what you need in your life.
That's true. Maybe not like life, maybe just in your life.
In your life.
Bye.
Bye. Sploosh. I said it.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Sploosh!